I am going to be short this morning. Wait a minute, that's not a joke.
I tell you what, I've been getting a lot of comments today. I don't know what it is. Pick on Preacher Day. My sister came up and said, Jason, you look like the ocean this morning. I said, the ocean? Making comments on my shirt that I like. This month is No Shave November. So I started not shaving last night, and this is what I come up with. I wish I can grow it on my hair, but it doesn't happen that quickly. But anyway, I am so excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. What a wonderful day to be here. I am so excited to see all of you here as we collectively lift our praises to God, for He is worthy. Amen. To our visitors, you are our honored guest, and you're always welcome here at the Mission Viejo Church of Christ. Whenever the doors are open, I believe that you won't find a finer church in all of Mission Viejo. You can't tell me otherwise. We are having a wonderful, wonderful worship experience this morning. I'm so excited to have Jennifer and Justin DeLavoux out with us to lead worship today. I want to say this before we start. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, look no further. There are cards in the back of the pew that you can pull out and fill out. And on that, it'll say if you're looking for baptism, if you're looking to find a church home and you want to be plugged in here, fill that out, and we've got a box in the foyer. But if you're from the South, it's the foyer outside there, and you can put it in that box, and we'll make sure we do our best to meet your needs this morning. So for the last, for the past month, we have been spending our time working our way through a sermon series entitled The Unknown God, which comes from Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in the city of Athens. He looked around and he saw a people that had no idea about how the God of heaven related to humanity, and he saw an altar with an inscription that said, "To the unknown God." And we have been through this series studying the significance of different Hebrew names for God found in Scripture. And we looked at God's name, Hashem, last night, or El Shaddai, and today we will complete our series talking about the significance of God's name as Jehovah Jireh. So the whole theme of this service this morning is really to get our juices flowing about how God is Jehovah Jireh, the ultimate provider. But before we jump into the lesson this morning, I've got a video clip to show you. And you guys just bear with me as we play this and watch this together.
The air caught to it.
I just wish we were all that excited when we turned on the stoves in our houses today. I mean, I wish we all viewed the simple things in life that way, right? But for so many of us, we take for granted the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. This clip that we just watched is from a movie that was released in the early 2000s called what? Castaway. You guys have all seen that movie. The movie stars Tom Hanks, a man who survived a horrific plane crash only to be stranded on a remote island for years. He was living the good life in America. He had a beautiful home, a special woman in his life, and a good paying job. But he lost everything. Lost it all. Gave him extreme happiness while he was on that island. Hence, fire to cook the fish that he caught and to disinfect the rainwater that he collected. And it's amazing to me that when everything you have is stripped away, how much more you appreciate the small things in life. But we in America, we live in a land of plenty. We all have a lot. And I think it would be good if all of us had had the opportunity to experience things taken away from us. A couple of years ago, I took a trip to Ethiopia, and we flew into the main city of Addis. And once we got into that main city, I said, Ethiopia, this is pretty cool. We can handle this because Addis is a lot like any major city in America. So I'm thinking we're going to stay in Addis, and I'll get to stay at the Hilton, and this is going to be more like a vacation, right? But that's not what happened. Once we got into Addis, we hopped on another small plane. It was a prop plane, right? And we got on that plane, and we flew into this city called Gondar. And there was no airport there. There was just a landing strip. So we landed in the city of Gondar, and it was on a clay top ground that we landed into. And we got there, and there was six of us Americans that hopped off the plane that day. And our tour guide took us into the hotel that we were going to be staying at, which he said was going to be the best hotel in all of Gondar. So we show up to the hotel, right? And I walk into my hotel room, and immediately what I see is a past accommodations. I wonder what, right? And I remember that next morning, all of us woke up, and it was time for us to get ready in the morning, and I turned the faucet on, expecting hot water to come out of the faucet. Nothing came out of the faucet that day, no water. I walked outside. Everybody else who was on this mission team said the same thing. There is no water. So I went up to the person that was working the hotel desk, and I said, excuse me, sir, there is no water. And he said, that's right. There is no water coming out of the spigot. And I said, well, what's the problem? This is the best hotel in Gondar. He said, oh, you silly American, you are sadly mistaken. You see, you've got to get your own water. So you've got to get a bucket, go down to the well, put the water in the bucket, and then if you want hot water, you got to cook it and warm it up. And I said, oh my goodness, the things that we take for granted here in America. But when things are stripped away, then we begin to gain perspective. It happens to me every year when Mary travels home for the summer to New Hampshire, and I'm left behind with nothing to eat. No clean laundry. You start to appreciate things when they are taken away from you, don't you? You appreciate them all the more. I heard one person say one time that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Today we are studying God's name as Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh the provider. And last time we spent time talking about Abraham and Sarah, if you remember all the way back last week, right? We discussed the difficulty that Abraham and Sarah had in conceiving. Remember, God approached Abraham when he was 99 years old and said, you're going to have a child, and Abraham laughed. However, what we see in that text is we see God doing something that was impossible and then turning it into something that was very possible. And he showed up and he said, I am Elohim Shaddai, God Almighty. Then right after Isaac was born, God did something. Mike, go to that next slide. God told Abraham to take his one and only son, what he wanted for his entire life, what Sarah wanted, to take his one and only son and strip it away from him and sacrifice Isaac on the altar. The audacity of this situation. God finally blessed me with what I wanted, with what I was longing for, and then God turns around and says, now it's time to get rid of it. Time to sacrifice Isaac. So we looked at the text this morning found in Genesis chapter 22. Might go to that next slide. I'm not going to spend time reading through all of it because I think Carl has a very commanding, powerful voice and read it well this morning. So thank you, Carl, for that. But I want to just kind of exegete some of the text here and pull out some things that maybe we have not considered or thought about before. Abraham sacrificing Isaac. The first thing that I want to look at it is verse number one. Sometime later, God did what to Abraham? He tested Abraham. If you're reading from the King James Version this morning, it says that God did what to Abraham? Tempted Abraham. But yet we see in other passages in Scripture, the Bible says that God does not tempt any man with evil. But I do believe that God does test us and will test us to see where it's time to test you. Church, don't be afraid of tests, because they are coming. They will come, and you will get through those tests. If you really love God and are called according to his purpose, God tested Abraham. And I wonder what Abraham's response was. It doesn't say in Scripture. I wonder if Abraham was thinking to himself, God, you just blessed me with my son Isaac. Now you're telling me to sacrifice him on an altar. Lord, what are you doing? Why are you putting me through this? I know a person that was diagnosed with cancer at a very early age, got that cancer taken care of, removed, only to find out that 2 weeks later that person had terminal cancer, right? And I wonder what kind of emotions and what kind of response that person has. She's a faithful person. I wonder what Abraham was thinking at this point. God, why? But the scripture doesn't say that. What the scripture says is Abraham said, okay, Lord. I believe, church, if we view our tests in that light, God will tremendously bless us. Whenever we go through hardships and difficulties, we say, okay, Lord, your will be done. God will really bless us and take care of us. So as we look on in the text, God did this to Abraham. We don't know what his response was, but what we see him doing is moving on. Verse number 5, which is just a powerful verse. And if you don't get anything that I say this morning, pay attention to verse number 5. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. You see the significance of this verse? Abraham knew in his mind that God was Jehovah Jireh. He had that much confidence, that much faith in him to say to himself, all right, Lord, me and Isaac are going to go over there, but we know together we're coming back. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I have confidence. I trust you, and I know that you know what you're doing because you are Jehovah Jireh, and you will provide. We'll go over, and we will come back. Oh, if we had that type of confidence in God this morning. Oh, if we had that type of faith and trust in him, the things that we could do through him. What the most troubling part about this whole story is what happens in verse number 7. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? If you could just put yourself into this situation for a moment. Your son saying, Father, where? But what I love, go to that next slide, Mike, is what we see at the end of this text. Verse number 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here am I, or here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. At this point, God recognized and knew that Abraham and his relationship with Jehovah Jireh was more important than any earthly possession that he ever had. And church, I believe if we view God in that light, that he is the most important thing in our lives, the most important person that we can ever know, the best relationship that we could ever have. It's a powerful position to be in. And I think God often tests us to see by this passage that is so Elisha and the widow Zarephath. If you know this story, you know it's a profound story. And I love this picture right here. I looked long and hard for a good picture that shows this. But here's this prophet Elisha meeting with a poor widow and her son. Now let's get into the text. You guys bear with me and let's read this together. Mike, go ahead and go to the next slide. The Bible says here in 1 Kings 17, verse 7 through 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord, Yahweh, all caps, your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take it home and to make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Wow. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have. Bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, Yahweh, God of Israel, says, the jar of your flour will not be used up, and the jug of your oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elisha had told her. So there was food every day for Elisha and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with what the word of the Lord spoken by Elisha. Powerful passage. If you think about this woman's situation as a widow in this time period, as a single mother with a son, how could she make a living without the support of her husband? Times were hard. And at this point, many widows turned to a life of prostitution to make a living for themselves. It was that difficult. Have you ever been in a place, church, where you did not have enough to make ends meet? You are wondering this. And then Elisha, the man of God, goes up to this poor widow who barely had enough food for herself and her son and says, "Give me a drink and give me some bread." I bet you that widow was Elisha, who on earth are you? I wonder if she did the neck roll and all. How you're coming to me to ask me for something knowing that I don't have much. But Elisha said, "You trust in God. Trust that he is Jehovah Jireh and do what I ask." Did that. Her food supply never ran out because God provided because of her obedience. Don't fear, for God is Jehovah Jireh. If God owns everything, he can make something turn out of nothing. Remember the story in the New Testament of Jesus feeding 5,000. Remember, Jesus said, "Put it in my hands, and I'm going to feed all these people, and you're going to have some left over if you trust me." And that's what happened, right? When the disciples put their trust in what they had into the Lord's hands, he multiplied it by a lot. Church, this morning, if we put our trust and our hope in God, if we give him everything that we are, everything that we have. I loved our communion talk this morning and our offering talk. We don't own anything in the first place. All of this is a test to see what we're going to do with testing you, church. Be obedient and see what he does. Matthew 6:33. And I'm done this morning. Jesus came to give us a life and an abundant life at that. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things of our time worrying about." Amen. But the Lord says, your main concern is to put me first. And if you do that, I'll take care of the rest, church. And oh, if we can communicate that message to more people. Put God first. Let him handle the rest. I want to end with this story, and then I'll sit down. I said that about 6 times, but this is the last time, I promise. I was a preacher at a church in Sacramento, church building. He had a ponytail, tattoos, long beard. It looked like he had been homeless for years and years and years. And he came to our church building, and immediately I recognized him, because 2 nights before, I saw his face on the news as being one of the biggest drug dealers in the Sacramento region, and now he's in our church building. So right when he walks in, and he's about 6'5", I'm going, "Whatever you want, you can have, brother. I'll take my shoes off, whatever you want. You just let me know. I'm not that tough to stand up. I remember that's what I said to him. You have whatever you need something, let me know. Here's my wallet, my car keys. And he said, no, I don't want that. I'm coming to the Lord today, and I want to be baptized, and I want to start my life over. And immediately, you guys are saying amen. You know what was going in my head? Yeah, right. Really? Like, really? So I went along with it. I was like, okay, let's sit down and let's pray and let's talk to the Lord about this. And he said, you know what? I've been watching TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. And after the Lord, he said, okay, if you've been reading through the Bible, let's talk about the Bible for just a bit. And I began to ask him questions, and he began to answer them just like that. There was a fire in him that I couldn't understand or explain. And I said, you know what? Maybe this guy is ready to be baptized. Maybe he has something that I don't know about, and I'm not going to stall that. So the next afternoon, I took Dino up, the biggest drug dealer in Sacramento at the time, and I baptized him into Christ. It was just me and him because he was scared to have people around. I thought that, what a conundrum, right? So I baptized him that day, just me and him, and he came out of the water. And he said, Jason, will you teach me to become a gospel preacher? So every single day, Dino and I would go over to Subway, and I would teach him the Bible. And sometimes I just walk around Sacramento with him to show how bad I was. I mean, don't mess with me, right? Right? And I taught him every day. Eventually, Dino started coming to church every single Sunday, and I put him in charge of a Bible class and then a sermon of Christ in Sacramento, California. Can you believe that? And Dino said to me, Jason, when I came to you, I had nothing. But when I gave my life to the Lord, I gained it all. Dino is married today, and he just purchased a house. Can you believe that? Amazing. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. He is the provider if you put him first. Church, I hope and pray that you put God first this morning. If you're not a Christian and you've been questioning your faith, right now, he is calling you to put him first through repentance and baptism. The baptistry is ready right now. Or if you are a Christian and other things have been getting in the way, putting God first in your life, this invitation is for you. We have a song selected. If there is anyone here this morning that has a need, we invite you to come together while we stand and sing.